If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode, in this very serious episode,
anything but that,
of Mind Pump, for about 11 minutes, we talk about common Mind Pump sayings.
Oh.
Yeah, I forgot what that was about. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We have, our own.
That's like, right. That's the thing. And Justin teaches us how to speak Elfin and Orc, believe it or not.
Very educational.
Believe it or not, he does speak both of those fluently.
Yeah.
We talk about great white sharks in Santa Cruz.
Great white.
If it's, yeah. Great white sharks.
Starks.
In
they're scary.
It's the which is why I won't swim in the ocean. I'm actually scared of them. Then we get to the questions of this episode. We talk about the best exercise or the best ways to do exercise to correct a sagging or uneven
boob
shoulder.
Oh, shoulder.
I knew you thought I'd say that. Shoulder.
It ain't that bad.
Then we talk about our thoughts on whether or not children should lift weights between 12 and 13. As my voice actually became childlike there for
a split second.
Yeah. Then we answer the question of whether or not we recommend a mini cut for someone, even if their BMI is above 35. So in other words, somebody's got some serious obesity issues. Do we still recommend mini cuts, or should they just go cut all the way?
Hmm.
Final question, our opinion on obstacle course racing, otherwise known as OCR, the training, the events, and how our methodology could be used to benefit competitors in the sport.
Find out if we'll see you there.
Finally, the MAPS Prime Pro Bundle.
It's here.
Is here. So we just released our newest
the
program.
The combo.
MAPS Prime Pro, which is our most correctional MAPS program ever. It looks at the joints of the wrists. It looks at the neck, the lumbar spine, the hips, the ankles and the toes, all the areas that you probably didn't know should also be well connected and have good recruitment patterns that can affect the rest of your workouts. It's in that program. It's correctional. But we also have our normal MAPS Prime program, which teaches your body how to prime your workouts according to your body and how it moves. Well, we took them and we put them together in a bundle. The price is discounted tremendously. And the place to get this Prime Pro bundle is at mindpumpmedia.com.
Doug, are we giving some shirts away right now or
we
what?
We are. We're giving away 5 shirts.
Okay, give them away.
Yeah, we had 15 reviews. So we got Theodore the Great, Nikhil Nalamothu, Muscle Hamster Watson, A. Cameron 37, Nick Ford. All of you are winners. Send the name I just read to iTunes@mindpumpmedia.com. Your shipping address and your shirt size. We'll get that right out to you.
Get Boom. Your shirts. Pippa monkey and the wrench.
Yes.
That's
100%
That's a fucking saying now. It's stuck.
Damn it.
It's stuck. So we got to think.
Forever.
Yeah, because I don't know. Hopefully this episode airs after the last one we did so that people know what we're talking about.
I know. It'll be really
Doug just nodded
confusing.
Yes. Okay. So the normal saying is throw a wrench.
Throw a wrench in the mix?
In it.
Yeah, just throw, in it, yeah.
I throw a wrench in the machine.
Thank you. See?
Throw a monkey wrench in the works.
Monkey wrench in the works?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, so Justin took a shortcut.
Obviously.
He just throws the monkey
just
in the wrench.
Pieced it together in a unique way.
But if you think about it, I love sayings because when you think of the saying,
a monkey
it
in
makes
the
sense.
Wrench.
There's a fucking wrench. You throw a monkey in that motherfucking wrench.
You throw a monkey in that wrench. Shit's going down.
You know what my favorite saying of all time is? Because every time I hear it, I picture it.
Mm.
When this shit hits the fan.
And it just, oh, God.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Everywhere.
It reminds me of like Indiana Jones.
Oh, my God. I was just
where the guy's
that.
Just backing up and he's like, ah. And
like,
then it splats.
Do you know what movie that is, Adam?
No. Well, I know Indiana Jones, but I don't remember that part.
What happened? God. It's an iconic part.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
He keeps disappointing me.
What part?
He was the big, huge Nazi guy.
Yeah, I remember, and he's fighting him, and he's just getting his ass kicked, and then he's backing him up, but the guy doesn't know that behind him is a propeller.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit, because you'd hear that motherfucker right behind him.
Yeah, I think he would even feel just the moving air.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of give it away.
Doug, click the translation for that. Let me see what the
monkey
I want to read what the translation is.
To do something that, I just read it. It was right there, dude. What are you doing? to do something that prevents a plan or activity from
Throw
succeeding.
A monkey oh. in
the
right
funding
in the
for the project
God,
was withdrawn. So that really threw a monkey in the wrench.
A monkey wrench
in
the works.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to say. Okay. So what's your favorite saying? Mine is when the shit hits the fan. What's yours?
Yeah. I don't know if I have a go-to.
Of course you do. You got to have it's not coming to you right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think we would know each other. Like, what do you catch me saying a lot?
In my wheelhouse. Like,
it's going downtown, yeah. Julie Brown. Yeah.
No,
is that another one? Or is that just me?
Okay, I think
Adam always says wheelhouse.
Downtown, Julie Brown.
Okay, see, that's good. I
wheelhouse is yours. What's Justin?
Yeah, I do use
what
that.
Is me? I mean, I use that one. That was terrible.
I don't know. I can't understand what it is because it's an elfish.
Lena, no, no.
See, there it is.
Did you just speak elf right now?
He's done that so many times, dude. Yeah. That's his fucking saying.
I know.
And it's the same sentence.
I know different language. I'm multilingual, but it's not real languages. You know what I mean? It's like.
It's like pygmy, elfish. Yeah. What else?
Like orc. Yeah.
So you can communicate to all the Disney characters.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm trying to think of something that you say all the time. What do you. You know what? Oh, Sal says, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Which, by the way.
Ladies and gentlemen.
By the way, you can't say that anymore. That's your work.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's pretty accurate.
Did you know you can't say ladies and gentlemen anymore?
Why?
Because I'm not making this up. I actually read a fucking article about this. Because it's assuming God. Everybody's gender in the crowd.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
I am not joking.
It's got too far.
Yeah, I
too
can't say far. Ladies and gentlemen. So, no. Fuck, I don't know what you're supposed to say.
Oh, my God, we're going to have to get on to you every time.
Yeah. Ladies and all the gender pronouns. Yeah.
Attention, use.
Use people. I
gotta
you can't even
back.
Say people. Maybe it's not a person.
I gotta
it identifies
it
a tree.
You have one other one that you do, and yeah. I can't remember.
It's ladies and gentlemen is one of them. That's trip off this. I always say that. What else do I say?
You say ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, I say dude, but... You know, it's a given.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I don't know.
And that's not really a saying.
No.
And dude, by the way, I learned this because I had a friend from the East Coast. Dude is just as common on the East Coast as it is on the West Coast. They just use it differently. For example.
Yeah, give me an example.
In California, if I want Justin to go get me a pizza, get a pizza with me, I'll say, dude, let's go get a pizza. On the East Coast, they'll say, let's go get a pizza, dude. They throw it at the end like that.
Let's
it's
go
a
get
little
a pizza,
different.
Dude. Yeah, see, that's got me something totally different to me.
What do you mean?
Like,
go get a pizza,
I'm
dude.
Go get a pizza, dude. Like, I'm gonna get gay. Let's do this.
I've always wanted to be with a pizza dude.
I want a pizza dude. I've been watching a lot of porn.
So,
come on, so, East Coast people. That's not how you use it.
But that's how they use it, dude. Remember DJ?
Is that true?
And his brother Paul. Remember Paul and his brother and DJ? They were brother-in-law. Anyway, DJ Densmore.
Oh,
DJ.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they used. That's how they used to use it from Boston. And so they used to use dude at the end of every sentence, and I always started off the sentence with dude.
Yes.
It was fascinating to me. It was mind-blowing.
Yeah. Well, it's like, Sal, and then you say something. Dude, then you say something.
Yeah, they say something and then dude.
Dude, check something this out.
I like Sal. Your shoes, dude. Like that. Versus, dude, I like your shoes.
Hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
It's
dude.
It's backwards.
Yeah.
And because dude originated in California... I mean, they're basically copying us and fucking it up. So, hey, East Coast. Oh, shit.
Is that the origin? Is the origin from here?
Has to be because it's a surfer term. I would imagine. Oh, no. It might be.
Surfs up,
no,
dude.
Hold on a second. It might be a Western thing because of like
yes.
the cowboys and shit.
Well,
dude ranch and all that.
Well, if your theory on it being a surfer and the saying is surfs up, dude, isn't that what the saying is?
Yeah, they did that after.
Yeah, I get that.
It's not dude surfs up.
I know that, no. but I'm saying the way it's used in our lexicon, the way we speak it, is we say it first.
Like, yeah, but if that, where's the origin? So where's it coming from?
I don't know. Doug's looking it up right now.
Are you looking up the origin of dude? Can you look that up?
Oh, so the late 19th century, denoting a dandy, probably shortened from doodle.
Perhaps.
Yankee doodle.
That's not as cool.
Oh, so like Yankee doodle dandy. So Yankee doodle dude. That's way better than dandy. I don't like the sound of dandy.
Yeah, forget about that.
hey, dandy. Yeah, let's
dandy.
Go hang out. Yeah, I don't like that much. Dude, you know what I saw? See, I said it right now.
Yep.
Do you know what I saw, dude? I was on Facebook.
Do you know what I saw, dude?
I was on Facebook. I have to actually have a conversation with you, Justin.
Okay,
because
right,
I know
fine.
You go to the beach a lot because you live in the Santa Cruz area.
Yeah.
And you go in the ocean.
Yeah.
Do you go in the ocean far enough to where your feet don't touch the sand anymore? Do you swim in the ocean?
Yeah, it's a good call. Yeah, like I not very frequently.
Good.
No.
Fuck. Yeah. Thank God. Oof. Do you guys realize how many great white sharks there
are? Yeah, just recently they had to close the beaches, right?
Not fucking sharks. Like, oh, it's a shark.
Yeah, no, these are legit man-eaters.
The biggest ones in the world, and they and the highest concentration, I believe.
Dude, that's why I never got into surfing, dude. Yeah. Oh, so I tried to add that one in there. Yeah.
Crazy. Right there, dude, in our backyard.
Is it the worst here?
It's what is it though?
There's a lot here, but I think Australia is worse.
I don't know.
Or
I want to say
coast of South Africa.
South Africa, I believe, is the worst.
Yeah.
But I know it's one of the most populated areas
it's
in the world.
Yeah.
Because scientists actually go. There's a spot. What is it? That spot? It's like an underground, underwater shipwreck.
Like yeah.
And like hell of them are over there. And if you go diving and stuff,
you
like,
always see them like where that one
cement
ship was.
I feel like that's based off of information you got from like a Disney cartoon.
No. No. It was, you know what you're thinking? Right now?
Or Nemo.
You're thinking Little Nemo because they swam through and the ship.
Got the reference. Good
I did
job.
Get the reference. Right. Yeah. So no, there's a shipwreck or something, right? Like a cement something down there and tons of great whites. And so it totally reaffirms my fear of the ocean. I never go out that far. Like, am I going to go swimming? My feet don't touch. If I can touch the ground,
there,
I'm cool.
Sure. When was the last time, Justin, there was an attack?
Just recently, actually.
Here's some stats for you.
Well, this is total attacks. I'm talking about great white sharks. But yeah, this is total attacks. Because total attacks, you're going to have to count.
Are we not even in the top 10?
No, Florida is USA.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're not that frequent.
No. California, USA.
Yeah. Okay, so what I want to see, Doug, is highest instance of great white shark attacks. Yeah. Not just shark attacks, because you could get bit by like a nurse shark.
Come on, Doug, step up your Googling.
You know what I mean?
little sand shark just nibbling on your...
Oh, I got attacked by a shark. Yeah, it doesn't count.
I'm reporting this.
Yeah. But I never go in the ocean where my feet don't touch because I feel like it's going to bite my toes and shit. So I'm out. I'm in the sand.
Yeah. You know what's funny? The fear
I'm a land animal.
The fear I've always had of the ocean is not of sharks. It's just gross and seaweed and slimy and like
God damn, you sound like a pussy,
right?
Yeah,
like, says the guy who won't swim or fucking
beaver. Because for sharks, not because it's icky.
You nibble my toes.
Yeah, because it's hey, dude. Well, watch out for the sharks. Forget
I'm
that.
Like, it's gonna take a bite out of my ribs.
I'm also talking about when I'm 5 years old. I grew the fuck out of that at least, so I'll go out and swim.
Oh, so when you go swim, I'm gonna pose a scenario. You're at the Delta or something like that, where it's murky as fuck and dirty. And you're swimming where your feet don't touch, and then you feel something brush by your toes. Do you freak out?
Totally.
Oh, my God. I lose my mind if that happens. It's horrible. Yeah. All right. Bring on the questions, Douglas.
Queen Quoth.
The angle has landed.
Chimera Quoth.
Today's Quoth is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quoth.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-qua.
All right, our first question is from Mr. Mallory. What are the best ways or exercises to correct a sagging, uneven shoulder?
A sagging shoulder? So one that's kind of dropped?
Sagging.
Yeah. Would that be forward shoulder, or is he talking about...
No, I think he's got a
banana
like,
shoulder.
Yeah, he's probably... His scapula is probably elevated, right? Or he's
on
got,
one side, or do you think one is depressed too much on one side? Either way, right? Either way, you've got an imbalance.
Yeah, most common that I've seen are people that have like one that's really like super overactive and tight. And like if you get somebody who does like a job where they're like writing on a whiteboard for hours all day long.
It's actually common. I almost never see unconditioned, I should say, people's shoulders being even. When I do an assessment, there's always one that's higher than the other.
Yeah, it is common. It's definitely and what you see, I feel like you see this a lot with people that either – drive, so like my bus drivers, taxi drivers, someone who drives Uber all day long, somebody who is a teacher who is writing on a whiteboard or a chalkboard all day long, somebody who is lifting their shoulder up to do whatever they do for a living all day long tend to have this imbalance. And it's just the trap is super overactive and it
on one side
rolls the shoulder girdle forward and up. And then if you don't correct that and you go do all your exercises, you just worsen the condition.
Yeah, so. Now, if this is due to an actual problem, like a neurological issue, like you have not your typical poor connection because you don't use it, but you have an injury, an old injury that did something, and now there's a muscle that's not really turning on. Like, if you can rule that out and it's just basic, you know, right to left imbalance because of deconditioning, one of the simplest things you can do is do all your movements with dumbbells, go really light, watch yourself in the mirror, and force yourself to be exactly the same or symmetrical between the two sides when you do your exercises. Now, this is going to require you to use less weight than you normally would, because the second you raise the weight to a point where there's a certain amount of intensity involved, your old pattern will take over, because that's the one you're strongest in. That's the one that you're always in. So lightweight dumbbells, go really slow and literally watch yourself and just match the two. And what you'll find is you'll end up having to take the weaker side, and that's the one that's going to have to end up working more. But make sure everything looks exactly the same in the mirror, and that should help. Another thing that I see that's common with people with uneven shoulders is actually a serratus imbalance, where they get winging in the shoulder blade. You guys ever see that? Where somebody will do push-ups and one shoulder blade will wing a lot, or they're standing and you can see it kind of winging a lot. And so sometimes people will notice that one shoulder is higher than the other, but they're not realizing that they're having winging going on just because they don't see themselves.
What do you think about doing a little, because this is pretty common and we have all dealt with this enough, what do you think about doing a little YouTube series where we talk about different movements and ways that we would address
this? This is definitely a visual thing.
Make both sides match or something like that. Okay.
Yeah. Doug, maybe we do a YouTube series after this to go in conjunction with the release of this.
Okay. So if you have that issue where one of your shoulder blades is winging, then there are exercises you could do. For example, you could get into a push-up position with your arms locked, not bend your elbows, but let your body sag between your shoulders, and then press away.
Yeah.
It's all scapular, and then you can start to strengthen that right there. This is actually more the winging of the shoulder blade. It's not super common, but it's more common than you realize, because I remember when I first got taught this years ago.
Well, think about it. You're either right or left-handed. And you're gonna do a lot more with whatever dominant hand you are. And when you tend to throw a ball or write on a piece of paper or write anywhere on a chalkboard, whiteboard, drive a certain way, you naturally kind of roll the shoulder forward. And if you're doing that on one side all day long, all the time, and you've done that for many years while you were not in the gym doing corrective movements to help keep it, you know, balanced. I mean, yeah, it's super common. It's in some people, it's really bad. Some people, it's like, I think it's most common where it's just slightly off. And I think when I really...
Yeah, because that's so common, and it's hard to address because people sometimes didn't even notice.
Well, you know how how I always saw this, right? And I remember, like, it took me a long time before I put this together and learned how to start to really help people here. But I remember getting people under a bench press. And they always tend to, the bar is really uneven.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who, when you bench press, even when you extend your arms, the bar isn't perfectly level and you have a hard time keeping the bar perfectly level throughout the entire movement, this tends to be one of the conditions right here that is causing that. So that's one way for someone trying to figure that out.
Quick commercial break. Hey, people ask us all the time how they can support Mind Pump. Here's what you can do. You can go to www.brain.fm/mindpump and get 20% off Brain FM for meditation or focus. You can also go to audibletrial.com/mindpump and get a 30-day trial plus one free audio book. Lastly, you can go to getnatureblend.com/mindpump and you will get a discount on Ben Greenfield's CBD product.
Next up is Taryn Dutu. What are your thoughts on whether or not children should lift weights? And this person's referring to a 12 to 13-year-old.
You know what's interesting about this question is that people place weights in a different category, or as if lifting resistance was, there was something inherently bad about it for the body. Therefore, you have to be a particular age.
The common thing is stunts your growth.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. It's an old myth. It's an old myth that training with weights will stunt your growth. Now, first off, definitely weight before you lift weights, but not because of the resistance, but just because of the balance factor. A kid, when I've trained young kids before, and the hardest thing to do with a 10-year-old when they're lifting a very light weight above their head that they have the strength to lift is keeping the balance with it. You give them two dumbbells.
Just properly stabilizing themselves and being firm in position.
Yeah,
like a lot of times, they just kind of go with momentum with a lot of their movement patterns, and that's something that they need to learn as a prerequisite to that for sure.
Exactly, because their arms will move all over the place. So young, I mean, if you rephrase the question, thoughts on whether or not children should be active? Yes, always, from day one. So, and using resistance is absolutely fine, given they have decent amount of balance. And it's usually around 12 or 13 that you'll see more of it, but they still have poor balance. I'm not going to lie. A 13-year-old, first time lifting, they also have poor balance. It's just not as bad, not nearly as bad as when they were 9 or 10. But yeah, there's no detriment at all to proper resistance training for anyone. And there, that myth of stunting growth is still, I hate it, still prevalent, but it's a myth, because what they did is they took, when people came up with that myth, is they understood that when you're before a certain age, there are growth plates in between your bones, and your bones actually get longer and bigger, and that's one of the reasons why you get taller. And if you damage those growth plates, the bone won't grow anymore, or won't grow any longer. So you've essentially stunted the growth of those bones. Now, what we need to consider is the amount of force required to damage those growth plates with proper resistance training. I want to say proper. So you get a 13-year-old who's properly doing a barbell squat, the amount of weight that we would have to put on the bar in that proper form and technique and all that, in order to damage those growth plates, is way more weight than that 13-year-old would ever be able to lift. It's just way more weight.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no worry about that. Now, can you damage growth plates doing horrible form and, you know, banging something on yourself and falling down and stuff like that? Of course, that can happen.
Well, I think that's
accident.
The big fear of allowing a 12 or 13-year-old to work out. I never liked training kids, although I trained a ton. I didn't like it because for this exact reason, most of them, their proprioception is so horrible that they're all over the place. They're tripping over their feet. They're super clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
Getting them to settle down to train and work on mechanics. So I had to come up with like little clever tricks to get them to train the way I want to. So I'll give you an example. It just popped in my head when I'm thinking about this is, I remember having this kid who was a hockey player, and he was 12 or 13, right around that age. And I was trying to get him to do a shoulder press and just not do it with, like, flailing his arms all over the place. And so I kind of made a game out of it where I stood in front of him and I balanced on one leg. I had him balance on one leg. And then I told him he had to mirror me with the weights. And then I grabbed like some 10-pound weights. He had some 5-pound weights. And then we're shoulder pressing. And it was who could stay balancing and not set the dumbbells down the longest. And we're trying to mirror each other and go as slow as we can. And I made a game out of mirroring me and actually stabilizing and slowing the repetition down as slow and controlled as possible, because that's extremely challenging for them. They'll like Sal said, they'll want to flail their arms and they'll be all over the place.
They just have bad control of their bodies with weight at the end of their limbs, you know?
So I at that age, I think for the most part, which they're now, I've also had anomalies too. I've also had kids that were just, at that, their parents got them into sports.
Gymnastics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You ever train a kid who's done gymnastics?
Yeah, and they had unbelievable body control. And I could teach them a deadlift and
a squat. Well, that's the thing. If they have that, ability, like, I'm not going to stifle that. I'm gonna try and build upon that.
Yeah.
Like, why would you? They just have to prove that they have done that work to where they have the control and the means to support their joints properly in all these different ranges of motion, and especially too with whatever their goal is. Like, it's great to teach kids proper lifting techniques. I think that a lot of the fear with this is it's fear of bad coaches, bad strength conditioning, like whatever the program is, because there are a lot of bad uneducated coaches out there that will improperly load weight on kids, and like, this happened actually to my wife. Like, she had a really bad coach that took over the volleyball team and had them all like doing backloaded squats with way too much weight, and I think it's unfortunate, because like, weights will definitely help aid in strength and performance. It's just there's a progression to that, and there's a proper dose of that. And so, you know, you got to consider all these things. What, like, we're not trying to over-intensify their workouts, and it's not like the entire goal.
Yeah, and in proper resistance training at that young of an age, that's, and it's done properly. Remember, that's the key word here. Huge benefit to a 12 or 13 year old. They will gain proprioceptive ability of their bodies at far faster rates doing that versus not doing it.
Yeah.
They will also build muscle. And if they're a male in particular, they start to go through puberty right around that age. You have your kid, if your kid's lifting weights and they love it and they're doing it right and they're doing it during their puberty years, you're taking advantage of a very anabolic period
huge
of life.
Huge spike.
And there's been some speculation that right around that time is a good time to maybe induce muscle hyperplasia, where you're not only thickening muscle fibers, but you're producing more muscle fibers. Hmm. So now your kid probably is going to have better muscle building genes as an adult because of the training they did when they were young. But earlier we were talking about like kids in gymnastics. You know, that I have never seen a sport done with kids that gives them just the body awareness. Like, I was at the community pool with my kids over the weekend, and there were these, like, I don't know, they're probably 10-year-old boys. First of all, I knew they were gymnasts because they were fucking ripped. Like, these were 10-year-old kids, and the dude, they have six-packs, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're not muscular because they're small, but you can tell, like, holy shit. And then sure enough, I'm watching them do handstand, you know, walking, and they're doing backflips, and then they're going off the diving board and doing all these flips and stuff. And
yeah,
I mean, their proprioceptive ability is amazing. And that's the flip side of it, is if you start at a young age and learn proprioceptive ability and really train it in your body, you are setting yourself up really well for the future, because there's a certain level of it that becomes permanent. Just like, you know, when they say you never forget to learn a bike, part of the reason why you never forget to learn a bike, how to ride a bike, is because you learn how to ride during that period of time when your body's kind of developing these permanent connections. So, 12, 13 years old, do it properly. Great idea.
Body weight first, in my opinion. And then once you start to progress to weights, stress mechanics over weight, and go lean towards the slower repetitions, 4, 5, 6, 8 seconds, 10 second, you know, eccentric motion.
Emphasizing the skill and the mechanics.
Yeah, just going real, real slow, you know, slow on the way down in a squat, pause at the bottom, and then come up, you know, real slow on the way down, pause, you know, just getting them to understand that control and the isometric part of the exercise too, over, you know, trying to get them to lift more weight, you know, go that direction first.
Spet 13 is asking, do you still recommend the mini cut way of eating if someone's BMI is over 35? I'm up there with my daily calorie burn is approximately 3,400. I am comfortable eating 1,800 to 2,200 calories. Is that too big of a deficit?
I wish I knew what this person's total weight was.
Well, 35 is a high BMI.
Well, that's why I want to know, because I right away...
whatever their height is, they're big.
That high of a BMI, there's no doubt that that's a low calorie burn, and that's an even lower caloric intake. That's very low.
You know, this is a tough one. So you're talking about someone who's really obese, like severely obese. You still do a mini cut. It's just a longer mini cut. So what I mean by that is, if I have, let's say I have a 300 pound client and they need to lose, you know, 150 pounds, it's a big, you know, half their body weight they have to lose, right? I will keep them in a deficit for a decent period of time, but I will break it up with small periods of either smaller deficits or even a maintenance. Because I don't care how big you are, metabolic damage happens. The Biggest Loser is a great example of this. They've done a few articles on some of these contestants. Every single one of them had a BMI that was over 35, and they were all severely obese. And all of them, if you watch the show, did severe calorie restriction and in crazy amounts of activity. And afterwards, all of them gained the weight back, and some of them were measured where they were, you know, just to keep the weight off, they were doing 2 hours a day of exercise and eating 1,200 calories. And these are big people. It's not like they lost a bunch of weight and they were tiny people. Yeah. Many of them were just naturally big people. 1,200 calories a day, 2 hours of exercise every day, just to maintain what they did on the show. So you don't want to be put in that position, because I think the last thing you want is to get yourself out of this mm-hmm. obesity, to succeed at that, and then find yourself in a position where you're gaining the weight back.
Yeah,
you know?
Because now you feel helpless, and then it becomes this like spiral. Yeah.
So we kind of talked about this the other day, and honestly, if I had you as a client, I would actually have you eating closer to 3,000 calories right now and strength training. Our goal would not to be creating a big deficit and trying to lose weight right now. I'd be trying to speed up your metabolism. The reason why you feel comfortable eating 1,800 to 2,200 calories is because your body is pretty adapted to that. It feels satiated and it feels fine. That's not a good sign. And 1,800 calories for someone of your size, you have way more mass and fat, just more weight to you, that both fat and muscle tissue require calories. So they both require calories, and muscle requires more. So even if you don't have a lot of muscle, and even if you have a lot of fat, it still requires a lot of calories, and you're not feeding it a lot of calories. So yes, fat will start to slowly fall off. But if you are eating in that much of a deficit, that low of calories, and you don't feel hungry, that's not a good sign. You should feel hungry. Mm-hmm. If someone of your size only eating 1,800 calories, you should feel hungry because your metabolism is ramped up so high that's such a low caloric intake. So I would be spending time right now strength training and keeping your calories closer to 3. And I really don't like, it's kind of funny we picked this question, but because we don't like to normally address, you know, individual people, right? Like specifically their goal or what they're mm-hmm. doing, because everyone is so unique. Mm. But looking at those numbers, I wouldn't want you in a much of a deficit. I'd be trying to put some good muscle on your body and not put any fat on.
So this would be like, I'm looking at a chart right here just so we have a reference. A man who's 5'9", who weighs 240 pounds. So it's a pretty big, that's a high BMI.
Yeah, so
what that would be.
Imagine how much round. That person should be.
I mean, you really want to speed their metabolism.
Yes.
That's got to be your number one.
You don't want cutting at all right here. There's no way.
I mean,
you're not going to make it all the way at that. You're at one point. So let's say you truck along and you lose 20, 30 pounds, and you're not done. You want
because you have another, 50 or 60 to lose. Where are you going to go, right? Yeah. You're already at 1,800 calories. To get to 50-pound weight loss, you might have either stayed at 1,800 calories or at some point even dropped it to 1,500. Now you want to lose another 60. Like, where are you going to go and where are you going to end up? Because that wherever you end up is where you're going to have to stay to keep yourself that way.
Okay, so
is there any bariatric treatment that would, like, take those steps, right, to, like, build up their muscle first and, like, not worry about gaining
weight? Oh, I see what you're saying, like, protocol?
Yeah.
No,
right?
No.
Like, I've never even heard of something like that.
No, they don't. They do psychological analysis. They do... Yeah. But they do not. They're not like, here's your prescription for resistance training.
I think
that'd
be interesting. Yeah.
We want to see your strength and mobility go up first. I mean, that would be brilliant if they did.
It would be.
Well, I just gave this analogy also on the show not that long ago, where and let's use you for this person we're talking to right now as this example. So we have two ways I could take off training you the next 30 days. One way, my goal is to actually get you to where I'm getting you to eat 3,800 calories and not gain any major fat. So this is trainer A. That's how I'm going to handle this client. The next 30 days, I'm slowly increasing your calories. I'm trying to negate the extra calories by, your program design and increasing volume over time, hoping that any of those extra calories are allocated to building muscle versus getting stored as fat. So that's my trainer A goal. Trainer B says, okay, I'm going to do it your way, and I'm going to do 1,800 calories to 2,000 calories, put you in about 1,000 calorie deficit every day and lose some weight. At the end of the month, trainer A put 1 pound on you. You're actually heavier than when you started with trainer A. Trainer B lost you 15 pounds of body fat. Who is better in this situation?
Right, right. See, the person on the other end of that, if they don't know any better, they're like, trainer B, dude, I lost 15 pounds. Whereas the right answer is the person that's building you up. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you're in this category, if you're severely obese and you're deciding, you know, your options are, you know, gastric bypass surgery, severe diet, like, what do? I need to lose 100
Get
pounds.
Get your ass on the forum. I'm going to tell you right now, like, these are the type of people that we help on there. This is where we're at. Mm. This is where we have an incredible community of people that are supporting and helping people.
Huge support system.
Well, here's what I was going to say. If you're this person, you want to lose 100 pounds of body fat, dedicate 1 year to gaining strength and performance and maintaining your weight. Literally, seriously, give yourself a year where you don't gain any more weight. And your whole goal is to get stronger and more mobile in the gym. After that year, start the diet process and watch what happens. The odds that it'll become permanent are much higher. Unfortunately, most people do not want to hear what I just said. Nobody who says, I want to lose weight.
They don't feel like they're winning, you know, at that point.
Nobody wants to hear that. They're all going to be like, fuck that. Well, I'm not going to wait a year.
You also said an extreme amount because it may not. But if you go in with that attitude that it could potentially take you a year to really build it up. But I think you would be surprised, you know, again, not knowing everything, right? Yeah. We're totally speculating right now. But, you know, do not be afraid to feed that body more calories, strength train, put more effort and energy into building muscle and get the idea that you need to lose 50 to 100 pounds out of your head. What my goal is, I want to be able to eat more without getting fatter. And if that means I can increase myself up to 3,800 calories, but I haven't lost any weight, you're in a much better place actually a month later eating 3,800 calories and not putting any weight on than the guy who lost 15 pounds from restricting his calories down to 1,800, because you'll eventually run out of room.
Yeah.
You just can't keep going, you know? Quick commercial break, you guys. We keep getting asked all the time, how can I support the Mind Pump family? Here's one of the best ways you guys can. You guys love that Chimera coffee that we have. Chimera coffee with a K. You go to chimeracoffee.com, put in the discount code MINDPUMP for 10% at the checkout. Also, if you guys want to know how I have this luxurious beard and you want one too, go to bigtopbeardcompany.com, put in the discount MINDPUMP again, but this time for 33% off. Also, you guys, if you guys have not tried Ben Greenfield's new bars out, they're fantastic. If you want some, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/naturebite, put in the code MINDPUMP and get 10% off. Go check it out.
Cray Manley, what's your view on obstacle course racing, the training, the events? Where do you see it going? How can your training methodology benefit the sport?
So we love it. And we weren't necessarily big fans. I wasn't against obstacle course racing. I knew what the Tough Mudder was and the Spartan Race and all these other ones in between.
Yeah, they look like a lot of fun.
I always knew what they were. They look cool. They never interested me. And I wasn't. You know, I didn't look at them and think, oh my God, they're super awesome. It was just a thing until we met, what's his name? Joe, what's Joe's
Joe
last
DeCina.
Name? DeCina. There you go. Joe DeCina, who is the founder of Spartan Races. And
isn't it funny how
he's a fucking awesome, one of the coolest guys I've ever met. Great storyteller, very cool guy, but he talks about what got him into. Or he tells us what got him into obstacle course racing and what it represents. And then I got it. Like, I understood what it was all about. Like, it's literally, we live in this, you know, temperature-controlled, fluffy, you know, world where everything is, you know, easy and comfortable. And
we're a bunch of pussies. Just say it, dude. And you can't around.
Well, yeah. And
we're a bunch
you could
sum it up to that.
And we don't test ourselves, whatever that means, by the way. It doesn't mean you have to be like some crazy whatever athlete, but we just don't test ourselves on a regular basis at all, physically or mentally, but especially physically. And there's a lot you can learn about yourself, and there's a lot of growth that comes from reaching those limits because they're challenging. It's almost like hacking life. If you think about life, you grow in life when things are challenging. Well, you can kind of hack that by making things challenging for yourself by doing some of these things. So I can understand the appeal all of a sudden. The way you explained it made total sense. So that being said, can we even say what we're doing?
Yeah, of course we can.
Yeah. So we're going to be the official podcast hosting the Spartan Race championship in Lake Tahoe.
I'm pumped.
It's gonna be fucking
this.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm super pumped about this. It's the world championship, so you know all the athletes that around the world even will be there that are the best.
How many competitors did he say?
think 12,000 somewhere.
So, I mean, incredible amount of competitors.
Our boy Ben Greenfield will be competing up there as well. So.
Yeah, we have a few. I know Mind Pump listeners that will be competing in there. Well, we have quite a few, I think, that are going to be competing in there. So hopefully we get a chance to see some MP family out there.
We went to our first one a little while ago because we went to go because Ben was competing, so we went to go say hi. He was in our backyard, and man, it's rad. It's really cool to watch. I could really see the appeal. I like
the camaraderie and everything else too. Everybody contributing and cheering people.
Well, you're testing yourself. Yeah. I know what it feels like.
You know, it's hard.
Yeah, exactly. I know what it feels like to really test myself and how you feel afterwards. It's incredible. So I think they're really cool. I definitely see them growing, and the reason why I see them growing in size is because life is getting more and more comfortable. The more comfortable life gets, the more you're going to see people need
challenging you, interrupt that whole process of thinking too. So yeah, like you said, when you're at home, everything is comfortable for you, and when you're at work, everything's comfortable for you, and when you're in your car, like everything is just catered to us. Like a lot of times we just don't step out of that and really challenge ourselves and what we can deal with adversity wise and overcome. And this is sort of like, I mean, it's definitely like one way to do it, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. But it, like the way like he described it, like how that was really challenged your spirit, and like how you know you had to endure this feat, and that kind of reward you get after that. It sounded appealing.
Yeah. So I have something to admit with it. I was not a fan of OCR at all. I was not, even though I'd done a Muddy Buddy before.
Like you weren't indifferent. You actually didn't like it.
Yeah, but that was the video, right? The Muddy Buddy.
No, I did not. I didn't like
log
it.
Jamming.
And just basically because personally, not like I didn't like it as like an organization. Like I didn't like it personally. I never once said to myself, "Do I want to?" I've had all of my buddies have done them. They've all, of course, invited me to do it and challenged me to do it. And I've told all of them to fuck off. Like I had no desire to do it just because it doesn't.
You're not a good friend though. I feel like
it doesn't.
Fuck off! Like wow.
Hey,
dude.
I'm into this new thing. Yeah. Golf. Oh, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
you're
fuck off.
It never aligned with any of my own personal goals, so I didn't really connect to it. A lot of the clients that I trained that were into OCR or marathon racing or any of that stuff, I saw more people that had a bad relationship with it, and they used it as their way of getting in shape.
It's the only way they could get motivated,
right? So
to train for the
so,
next.
So, being honest, I was not a really big fan of it from that perspective, right? But I have to admit, like, after meeting Joe, and this is, I find it fascinating how meeting one person like that can change my whole view on how I look at it differently now. And when you get the chance to meet the fucking creator of it and talk to him, and it helps that I really, really like the dude. Like, he is definitely our people. We for sure hit it off with him.
Well, I can't wait that episode drops.
Oh, I can't wait to introduce him to people, to our audience that have never heard of me. Hands down, it was one of, if not the...
Like the coolest stories I sat and listened to.
Podcast we've done. It was one of my favorite, for sure. So just getting to know him and then hearing the business side... I was so fascinated with that, and we've talked about this before. We knew that where we like your massage businesses, your any of these like clinics that are float tank, all the deep tissue stuff. All this is on the rise because of how plugged in we are as a society, and we're getting worse, right? We're more and more connected to our phones and disconnected from ourselves and those around us. So it makes incredible sense.
Dude, it's like a concentrated version of the elements, like just hammering you.
Right.
You're like making up for like a year's worth of not, getting exposed.
Yeah, it makes total sense why it would be a brilliant idea to build a business like this, because there's a huge need for it, and the need is growing right along with technology, which it's funny because it's totally opposite of that, but that's why. It's because people are going to need this more and more.
It's an outlet, dude. It's become an outlet. Right. And as studies are starting to come out showing that some of these team building event type things like this, obstacle course racing type stuff is being used quite a bit for team building. And there's now studies showing that it improves, employee productivity and morale and, people.
Yeah, because you have another type of connection with your coworker.
Yeah.
Which is powerful.
And, these are really popular, especially amongst Silicon Valley executives. And I think because tech is such a competitive market that they always looking for an edge, right? Yeah. They're always looking for the next edge and how to become more creative or whatever. And so you see this be a big popular thing. Yeah, it's definitely going to grow. I don't see it slowing down in any time in the near future. At some point, it probably will, but I don't. And the biggest one is Spartan. And, you know, we got to attend one of those. I think they're really awesome. I don't think it's a good idea to use them or marathons or any other event for that matter as a, like Adam was saying, as a reason to work out, because there's lots of those people who they cannot find they can't get themselves to the gym unless they're training for something.
Yeah.
And these are the same people.
But
that
if this is your sport and you're training for your sport, you know, that's cool. That's where it makes sense.
Yeah, which there, and there is and I know we have some listeners that are like serious OCR like guys. Like they literally go to multiple events, totally different stories.
It's the same thing with CrossFit, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so it's like if you're using CrossFit for like the ultimate way to beat your body up as a sport, you know, party on. But it's not like for people trying to get in shape and lose that extra fluff.
Right.
I will say this, as far as our training methodology is concerned, MAPS Performance has its name written all over this. Now, that doesn't mean you just do MAPS Performance for OCR, because OCR is so specific, technical. You need to do a large degree of technical and specific type training. So. Yeah. If one
build yourself a course like Ben Greenfield's.
Yeah,
house.
Exactly. Yeah. If one of your events involves, you know, monkey bars, then you can get really strong doing all kinds of different exercises like you will in MAPS Performance. And we're going to give you a very, very good general overall broad spectrum based type performance. But you better incorporate some monkey bar, you know, exercises or, you know, walking across them, because that's what you're actually going to do when you compete. So I would say the best the methodology that you'd want to follow for this is you'd want to have a solid base of training that focuses on.
So you basically run through that first like legit run through of MAPS Performance, just like we indicate in there. Like we're building up that raw maximal strength, and we're getting further with that as far as proprioceptive ability and multiplanar type exercises and adapting to that specific type of stimulus. And then we move on, you know, and we get a little bit more into power specific, like speed power. So these are all attributes, like a good athlete like needs all these very specific type of attributes.
Especially, you know, obstacle course racing, because it's so varied. You know, obstacle course racing involves like lifting yourself and then long distance runs.
You need to summon something like right away.
So
hop over.
So I would, the base of your training should be something that works on those attributes, which we would consider broad spectrum performance, because it's so many different things. But then the specifics of your training should also be there, in the sense that you are practicing the course, you know, movements and events or whatever on a regular basis, and you're not doing them necessarily as part of your workout, although you can. You're doing them more as you to get better at them and to get more technical. Because here's the other thing: some of the best obstacle course racers in the world, or like if you ever watch what's that game show on TV where they do Ninja Warrior or whatever, which is kind of like that a little bit, right?
More.
That's even
climbing involved,
even more technical, right?
Right.
The best athletes that compete in this aren't necessarily the most fit. It's the ones that know how to do the events or the challenges the best, and have the best technique.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
You know, because if your technique is off, you can be fit as hell, have
that,
lots of
strength
and endurance.
Your strength to weight ratio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Your strength to weight ratio with that, because so many of the events require you holding your body weight up or pulling your body weight up over something.
Even just running, you want to be light.
You don't want a lot of excess weight. That's for sure.
This is why Ben Greenfield's so great at, when you look at him and his physique. Zeke right now, I mean,
he's like a spider.
He's like super strong hands.
Super lean and small. Like he doesn't fill out a large t-shirt, but when he's super strong for how
he's
lean.
Very muscular, but not very big.
Yeah.
And it gives him that, you know, that particular level of performance. But the other thing that he has going for him, besides his physical attributes, is his course in his backyard. Yeah. He has a course in his backyard where he practices these particular events, and that's part of his training. It has to be a big part of your training.
Well, he used to do the triathlons all the time, you know, and like I forgot about that. I thought he was just like an obstacle course guy. And when I was up there with Kyle and he was like challenged us to like go swim across this like freezing river and then come back, you know, and just like bust out and he just jumped in and started swimming. And then Kyle went in with him. I was like, no way, man. Like I knew better.
How far did Kyle get?
Kyle got about halfway. And I was just like, like just looking around like, no, like
did Ben go all the way?
Oh, he just jammed all the way there, like nothing, then came back.
He's a machine, dude.
But
that's also fucking irresponsible, Ben.
I know,
you
right?
Killed everybody.
yeah. I was going to like go get a life preserver and like jump out there and grab Kyle.
Because that could suck real bad. You're like halfway through, you're like, I can't make it back or forward.
Yeah.
I'm going to drown
I think
now.
Kyle should take him on a jiu-jitsu mat now.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's what I think.
The last guy I'd want to jiu-jitsu.
Exactly.
He's big, strong, and technical.
Oh, my God.
Look, if you go to YouTube, you should check out our channel, Mind Pump TV. We post a new video every single day. Subscribe to that channel. Also, if you want to ask us a question that we answer on an episode like this one, the place to do it is Instagram, and the page to do it on is Mind Pump Media. We all also have personal pages. I'm going to start with the best one first. It's Mind Pump Doug.
Whoa.
Then it's Mind Pump Justin, Mind Pump Adam, and finally, Mind Pump Sal.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.